on, Mr. Producer. Let's start some producing here. I'm producing. Are you producing?
We've got Ted Nugent, the Motor City Madman from Waco, Texas, on the phone. You're not from Waco. Is it? Where is it? Crawford?
Well, I'm the Motor City Madman. Before I got to Detroit, it was just known as Town. Once I showed up, of course, it was Motown that it was a moment ago. I moved to Texas back in 2003 because you need me in Texas. They need me on that wall. And I've always been a Texan at heart. In fact, when I was born and raised in Detroit, Detroit was like Texas, you know, free, rugged individualism, self-sufficiency, work ethic in the asset column. So, yeah, Texas is, the spirit of Texas is alive and well wherever I travel.
My friend owns a company called Heli Hunter, and you've gone hog hunting with them a couple of times.
Well, of course I have. If you look at an infrared map of America where the most hogs are, you'll see wherever Ted Nugent was with Heli Hunter with my M4 machine gun that there's a dramatically reduced swine population wherever I have celebrated the pork apocalypse. Yeah, I kill a lot of pigs in Texas. I, once again, pork is supposed to be in the asset column, not the liability column. All you have to do is whack them and stack them and kill them and grill them, and it's a win.
What about, I want to get political with you real quick, something that...
I think I was just political, but go ahead.
You're not afraid to do. This week, with the North Korea situation and the alliance, all right, does that make you happy? How about these people that are sitting there still running their mouth saying that nothing happened, that Trump didn't get anything done, that this is, you know, just he went over there for a photo op. What is wrong with people, Uncle Ted?
Well, your frustration is widespread because truth, logic, and common sense still propel many Americans, you and me included, and everybody in my family, my band, my crew, my production team, my kids, my grandkids, my brothers, my sisters, everybody I know lives by truth, logic, and common sense. Unfortunately, there are liberal Democrats who are allergic to truth, logic, and common sense, and when they see up, it's actually down. When they see good, it's actually bad. When they see truth, it's actually a lie. So you've got to expect, and I'll use the term Planet of the Apes to describe a movie where mindless and soulless citizens in that particular film, they happen to be apes, but it doesn't really matter what species you might be. If you give up, and you allow tyranny and dictatorship, and you allow yourselves to be enslaved by power-abusing monsters, James Comey comes to mind, you can reference that movie as an indication that a lot of Americans, I imagine they are always Democrats and always liberal, that they actually believe that in the face of the inescapable evidence that gun-free zones are where the most innocent lives are slaughtered, these idiots want more gun-free zones. So when they see the president pursue status quo destructo derby with aplomb and nonstop aggression for the benefit of America first, stop and think, John. The liberal Democrats hate that the president wants to put America first. And in this instance in North Korea, he is actually charting unprecedented territory and pursuing clear and present leaps towards global peace, and yet the Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, syllable challenge freaks find fault with it. I mean, I haven't had this good of a laugh since Richard Pryor's afro caught fire. This is funnier than Sam Kinison on cocaine. I mean, so you got to take it for what it's worth and just thank God that if he's going to create our enemy, you couldn't create our enemy to be more efficient in showing how good we are than to allow Nancy Pelosi, Michael Moore, Eric Holder, you know, Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and all those freaks represent the nemesis towards freedom and the American dream. So I say carry on.
So you're saying we're getting quality Hollywood entertainment for free. So just sit back and enjoy it?
Well, you know, yes, free in the monetary considerations, but as far as freedom goes, if you let these monsters on the Democrat side win, and again, it's no more offensively and dangerously manifested than in the glaring an obvious policy of the left that they know. Everybody knows that the most innocent lives are lost in gun-free zones, and these idiots actually push for more of them. So you can't create this in a Twilight Zone or Cuckoo's Nest movie. It has to happen when people have lost their souls. They love to keep their subjects under their thumb. That's the Democrat liberal policy, is that they believe they're so elite and so much better than we are that they have to cater to our most failing misgivings and offer us safety at their hands, which is exactly opposite of what they're doing. They are power-abusing, criminal oath-violating monsters, and the more they open their stupid mouths, the better I, you, and President Trump look.
Well, I was reading along Webster's Dictionary while you were talking, and it looked like you were just reading out the definition of communism.
Yeah, hello? Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, I'm 70 years old, clean and sober. When you're clean and sober and you engage in genuine, sincere, and unlimited, uninhibited dialogue with people from every imaginable walk of life, every ethnicity, race, gender confusion, no matter where you have a campfire with Uncle Ted, there is no subject off limit. And I've been holding these campfires both literally and figuratively, and now with social media on Facebook with tens of millions of people around the world, you develop a confidence and a better understanding every day of what is truth. The evidence supports the truth. What is logic? The evidence and quality of life by those who live by truth and logic supports your belief in logic and truth. And common sense, that this kind of truth and logic happens to be common sense. Everybody knows that the end game for the entire Obama, Clinton, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and who's this new Beto dirtbag that's trying to turn Texas into a suburb of Baltimore? These people, they really are driven by a Marxist-Lenin communism. You know the people that mentored Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Remember those guys? Remember Saul Alinsky, who Hillary Clinton did her law thesis at Columbia and was personally tutored by Saul Alinsky, the author of a book called Rules for Radicals that was dedicated to Satan. See, John, I don't have to make this stuff up.
It writes itself.
You know, Alfred Hitchcock wished that he could have wrote a screenplay this stupid.
Oh, hang on. I've got to digest all this. Let's cleanse our palate for a minute. Let's talk about something fun.
By the way, that is all fun. This We the People experiment in self-government. We do battle. I know guys that were in the Bataan Death March and that were on the beach in Normandy and Omaha. And yes, it was horrific, and it was heartbreaking, and it was spellbinding. But you know what some of them tell me? It was fun killing the enemy. It was fun fighting for freedom. It wasn't fun bringing their dead comrades home, but it was fun crushing evil. So we have to take this experiment in self-government, this We the People charge of self-sufficiency and rugged individualism, where we independents declare our independency, and we wrote down the self-evident truths in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. We live by the Declaration of Independence. That it is fun. It's a pain in the ass, but it's also fun. So I know what you're talking about, because there really are some great fun things, like my music, my guitar tone, my band, my tours, my Spirit of the Wild TV show, my incredible wife, Jermaine, and all my grandkids. So there's unlimited fun available to us, John, and I'm here to deliver.
I had fun last Sunday night, and I went to see Styx in concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that Tommy Shaw, not only is he an extremely small man, does he have arms that are shorter than, like, disproportionately small arms?
I never noticed that, because here's the bottom line about Tommy Shaw. He is a huge black Motown funk brother trapped in a little white boy's body. The guy has so much soul, so much piss.
He's a rock god. He's a rock god.
And what a master guitar player. You can't talk Clapton and Hendrix and Beck and Page in the same breath without mentioning Tommy Shaw. He's that good, isn't he?
Well, I just didn't know if literally the length or size of his appendages had something to do with this amazing talent here. I'm telling you, look at what I'm saying. Look at what I'm saying. But he,
well, I hugged the man often, and I never noticed.
Could he get his arms all the way around you?
I never noticed any variations in his appendage protrusions. But next time when I hug him back, I'll make a note of that.
Tell him to clench his fist.
I'm a huge tall guy, and I towered over those damn Yankees, so I always thought that I was like the ape in the band.
When he hugs you, say, give me a real hug. Clench those fists behind me and see if he can do it. Hey,
I'm sure he could, but how about this? I just referenced myself as an ape. How cool is that?
And I'm offended. Possible damn Yankees reboot? Yes, no, maybe?
Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah.
Boy, hopefully, lovingly, I keep in touch with the guys. I mean, Michael Cardelloni is one of the most respected and in-demand drummers in the world. He's been with Leonard Skinner since he wrapped up the damn Yankees tour, and he was my solo drummer for 3 or 4 years after that, in 95, 96. And that's 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michael Cardelloni is a master drummer, and of course Jack Blades is a walking, talking, breathing, dancing musical force, and he's out with Night Ranger all the time. And of course, I don't think Styx ever takes any. I think they take off Easter, Christmas, and Valentine's Day. I don't think they take off any breaks at all. So it's really hard to get them together because. I think we can all agree, and whether you do or not, if you're right, you will agree with me, that the greatest philosopher of all times was Dirty Harry when he said, a good man has to know his limitations. And I am 70 years with a firestorm of energy. In fact, my band told me last week that if the 30-year-old Ted Nugent showed up, I'd kick his ass. Because I take the hunting season off to cleanse my soul, to feed my family and friends in soup kitchens and homeless shelters and pantries with the sacred venison protein. And I prioritize effectively, intelligently, and accountably so that when I do go on tour every summer that I am a terror, because the music made me do it, and that's not only the truism, but it's the name of my new record. The music made me do it, but I have to be in perfect health, in great spirit and energy and attitude to play the phenomenal type of music that I play, so I'm not available from September to March because I'm hunting every day, making sure that I balance the herds.
What is the tour situation right now? I have not looked at your schedule. Are you in it right now or fixing to start?
Well, no, we just wrapped up just an incredible record. The music made me do it. What a riot! I'm wondering if my fellow man knows this.
Is there a hit in that album, in your opinion? I mean, and don't be crazy overconfident. Let's talk normal. Is there a single in there?
Crazy overconfidence is my normal.
Is there a single in that album, in that record that you think could be a radio hit?
Yeah, well, in today's radio, no, because I don't play, you know, cartoon music.
I know. I just didn't know if there was one that you thought, you know what, this one can hit. Because stuff springs up on you. And I want to see you guys, the classic rock fraternity. I was so excited to see Fleetwood Mac's Sarah come into the top 10 the other day out of nowhere.
Oh, that is great. Yeah, well, real music is alive and well, and the fact that Styx and REO and Journey and Def Leppard and ZZ and Cheap Trick and everybody and everybody that makes really great killer music is still on tour all the time. I'm going to go out this year in 2018. I will perform my 6,700th concert, and it's going to be the greatest tour of my life. Just from the rehearsals, it's just out of body. So the answer to your question is. The new record is called The Music Made Me Do It. The title track is a killer piece of classic all-American rhythm and blues rock and roll. And if there was real radio and real music radio, I suspect I would have a hit record. But real music lovers are going to love this record, and we had so much fun making it. And it was such a Lewis and Clark heading for uncharted Northwest passages of music that when Jason Heartless, my amazing drummer, and Greg Smith, my unbelievable funk brother bass player, when we wrapped up The Music Made Me Do It, it was like it out of body. It just was so much fun. It was delirious. So I'm excited.
Here's why I say this. I have four children, 14, 11, 9, and 4. They love classic rock. Their friends love classic rock. Classic rock, I mean, we're on KZPS in Dallas. What's the number one 6+ station? It bounces between the classic rock station and Kiss FM, the top 40 station. Classic rock, it's got this weird effect on generations that is not dying off by any sweat. And I'd like to see some of these artists. It breaks my heart when they sing their new songs to the crowd and everybody goes and gets a beer because they just want to play me the hits, play me the hits, play. If Cat Scratch Fever came out today and got airplay, it would hook up and it would be ranked. I'm just telling you,
I would think so, yeah. I believe that. It's got soul. It's got spirit. What? We came from the definitive musical authority of the black artists that were celebrating the horrors of slavery and the unshackling.
Now, hang on, Bob. What he's saying right there is really, Ted says a lot of crazy things, but what he's talking about right now is he's hitting the nail on the head. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, everything I say hits the nail on the head. Sometimes the velocity confuses people like you, but if you pay attention, you'll see that every word out of my mouth is so accurate it's stupid. My point being is that every classic artist, we were so moved by the sincerity, the authority, the passion, the fire, the uppity defiance of Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and Little Richard and what Elvis brought forth from his black influences and all that powerful music. It made us practice. So we practiced our instruments. We didn't rely on pre-recorded electronic music that is a formula and a cookie-cutter delivery of what some group therapy analysis determined that the girls would buy most of.
Right.
I expect Hey Hey Where the Monkeys to be the new hit country song. My point is that you love it and your kids love it, and I still go on tour, and all the great classic artists are still on tour because what Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and James Brown and Wilson Pickett and the Motown Funk Brothers gave to us was a
foundation,
a soundtrack for quality of life and all of its ups and downs and nuances. So that is alive and well. Say hallelujah.
It really is. I had Alan Parsons on this show. I've had Simon Cowell on this show, and I asked them both the same question, and it's what you and I are talking about right now. But the question is, why is this music so evergreen? What is different today versus that 1972 to 1982 cut that this stuff won't stop? And the answer was the same both times. Alan said they played together. Simon said they played together. That was the difference. They were a band, not tracks. That was the difference.
Yep. And absolutely. We believed in it. We believed in that Chuck Berry believed in his delivery and the energy that they delivered on stage, and it was palpable just listening to it over the radio. You could tell somebody was dancing and gyrating, and somebody was singing about defying the status quo of, you know, old Blue Eyes and Count Basie, which was awesome. It was soulful music, but it wasn't quite as defiant and cocky as Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley redefined. So that still inspires Tommy Shaw on stage every night, I promise.
Out of all these classic rock bands, I've made it a point, I'm 45, but I didn't go to a lot of these shows in my, you know, teens and 20s, and I've really been trying to catch everybody in the past 10 years. And the best one I've seen that moved me the most, which is odd because it's a different lead singer, but it was Boston. I don't know if you've seen them live in the last, you know, 5 years or something. That one got my goat better than any. And the strongest lead vocal in the classic rock business that's still on tour is Paul Rogers, from my perspective.
Yeah, with no question about it. But isn't Brad Delp dead?
Yeah, but the guy they replaced him with is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a hard shoe to fill, but you're right. There are some incredible vocalists. I mean, my incredible
Styx vocalist is awesome.
Yeah, it really is about the passion that you hear in their voice and the tightness of the band and the dedication, the professionalism to hone their craft to deliver the best of the best. And my band and I have a fisticuff. We push our fists together before going on stage every night, and we listen to James Brown and Wilson Pickett and Motown stuff and the tightness of those black gods of thunder, and we make sure that every gig is the most important gig of our life. And I know Tommy, and I know Styx, and I know Cheap Trick, and I know Bad Company. I know all those bands, and they dedicate themselves. When they go on stage, that's the most important gig of their life, and you really have to salute that work ethic.
I need to go see you live. I want to do that. That you're on my bucket list. What you probably don't know your schedule off the top of your head, but where can we...
Oh, I do. I know every day of the year off the top of my head, but here's the horror. This is the pain. I might cry live on your radio show. We only did one concert in Texas last year, and that was an impromptu, you know, gig jam session here 2 weeks ago in Waco. This is the first year, I think, since 1967 that I'm not doing an official on-tour gig in Texas, and that's because, Dirty Harry, once again, the good man knows his limitations, I am only doing 6 weeks this year. We do six nights a week. We do 36 concerts in 6 weeks, but...
Where do we look up the
Texas
schedule?
But I expect to be arrested.
Where do we look up your schedule? Just TedNugent.com, hit tours?
Yeah, you bet. And you come and witness my band, Jason Hartless on drums, and Animal, Greg Smith on bass guitar. I have a rhythm section that every guitarist dreams of. These guys are so good, man.
I'm going to do that. And, you know, we're on right now, and I don't know if you know, it's not just Dallas. We're on 25 stations. We're on in Vegas. We're fixing to start San Diego, actually, in L.A., but our show's really grown over the years, and you need to come visit us more often. It's fun.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, man. I like to celebrate the music. I'm not only the creator thereof, but I'm the biggest fan in the world of really killer soulful rhythm and blues and rock and roll, and all my band and my crew and my team and everybody I know, and it sounds like you are, too. So we are American musical blood brothers.
Okay, Ted Nugent, everybody. Come again, Ted, and thank you, sir.
All right, man, the music made me do it. Live it up.
Later.